Hi, this is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Boom.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the ghost host, Sophia, on liveparanormal.com.
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And ghost huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to ghost host, Sophia Temporelli.
This is Stefan Brigati from Pacific Coast Paranormal. And you're listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. She rocks.
And Michael Perry.
And we're here. Hello, we're here at the ghost host with Sophia Temporelli and weekly at liveparanormal.com.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30 Odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to the ghost host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com. Boo!
This is Nick Roth, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickRoffTours.com. You are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
She's grown up as the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, celebrating 8 years of broadcasting on LiveParanormal.com. Congratulations, Sophia.
That's right, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. And yes, this is hands down the world's most unique paranormal broadcast, where 20-year-old Sophia Temporelli discusses all the latest haunt topics with all the paranormal field experts themselves. And she's been doing so since she was 12 years old. So congratulations, Sophia, on over 8 years of broadcasting here on LiveParanormal.com and History FM. Thank you, Rob Sarek, the site founder of LiveParanormal.com, for providing this format each and every week. And thank you to all of our moderators for patching us through at live events when we had no internet feed at abandoned asylums and hospitals and cemeteries. Thank you guys for patching us through during those events when we broadcasted live. Today, we welcome back author, writer, artist, medium, entrepreneur, sublime and supernatural podcast host, and Hollywood Ever After mediumship host, Jill Marie Morris. Everyone, visit right now, JillMarieMorris.com. That's JillMarieMorris.com. Twitter and Instagram, at the Jill Marie. Upcoming, we have next weekend, we have Hollywood Ghost Hunters founding investigator Rick McCallum will be returning to the broadcast. As well, we have dual Ricks here. We have psychic Rick Wade. He'll be promoting an event coming up that he is co-hosting with Doogie from Tennessee Wraith Chasers. So that's going to be next weekend, the 14th. Also, resident undead co-founding paranormal researcher, documentarian Adam Kimmel will be on the program. He's securing his date currently, too. So he's picking one around his schedule on Saturdays. So you don't want to miss any of these upcoming broadcasts. Like the ghost host Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com Facebook fan page to learn about the guests as we learn of them real time. Also, like LiveParanormal.com Facebook group page. A lot of great new paranormal investigative team member panel roundups on the weekends. A lot of new great broadcasters have been added to the network too as well. Check out the membership packages. They start as low as $2.99 a month. And Rob Sirk, the site founder, he's great at rewarding the audience. So a lot of autographed books by some of your favorite paranormal authors. So that's under the memberships page on liveparanormal.com homepage. Also support the vendors there too as well. Tonight on liveparanormal.com, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, be on the screen and Ghost Light Radio, as well as monthly Mondays right here. Chip Coffee of A&E's Paranormal State and Psychic Kids, as well as Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigatti, Anya Michelle Kopic, Ken Gearhard, and many more right here on this very network. Archive shows, if you miss anything, they're available as free MP4 iTunes downloads on the homepage of liveparanormal.com under the show headings, and you'll see the thumbnail there as well for the archive show. And let's see here. Let's bring on the host, the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli. I'm trying to unmute right now and bring her into the studio here. And it's kind of freezing. Lock it. Okay, Sophia, you there?
Hello?
Sophia. Yeah, hi. Yeah, there was a little lag there on the loading of your little mode there. So we'll make sure we start that early with our guests. But, Sophia, congratulations. 8 years of broadcasting. You're doing a fantastic job here.
Thank you. I can't believe it's already been 8 years.
I know. You helped a lot of people along the way. You're doing a fantastic job, and a lot of people gotten help from a lot of the guests that you've had on during the years, and today's guest is no exception. She's helped me with some cold cases, too, because I get some requests from time to time, and she's certainly helped with some of those things along the way. And but you have the Instagram, you have the Twitter, and all these different pages. Where can people find you?
So I'm on Twitter at Sophia Temporelli with one L, and Instagram just at Sophia Temporelli. I'm also on Facebook too, which, yeah, Sophia Temporelli.
Yeah, and some of those you have to drop an L because your name's too long. We kind of cursed you with that. So Sophia Temporelli without two L's at the end on Instagram and Twitter and that type of thing. But tell us about our guest. Excited today?
Today we have on author, writer, medium, Sublime and Supernatural podcast host and Hollywood Ever After mediumship host, Jill Marie Morris. She's returning to the show today. As stated on her website, Jill's impressionable works are widely known for connecting individuals with the vibrancy of thought and spirit. Everyone visit JillMarieMorris.com, Twitter and Instagram at TheJillMarie. Let's welcome her into the show.
Okay, let's see. I unmuted her a little early. It's still loading, toggling, doing its. There we go, Jill. We got you in the show. Thanks for coming
on.
Hey.
Hey,
thank you
back.
So much for coming on.
No, thank you. It's always fun to speak with you too.
Well, I want to congratulate you too on all of your great sold out events you've been having. I know one in the past you had at a very iconic location was the Lizzie Borden House. Can you tell us a little bit about that past event and what kind of transpired there?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for asking, Sophia. So that is one of my, it's kind of a dual thing, my most favorite yet least favorite. It's for two totally different reasons, locations. And the most favorite is because of the history involved. And it's just a unique spot to be able to go in. They preserved the house pretty much, not the exact same furniture, obviously, where the murders took place, but they have recreated some of the furniture and it's positioned the same as it was on the fateful night. Someone, AKA possibly Lizzie Borden, killed her stepmother and her father in the house. And we had a full house. They spent the night in the house and we investigated. We did random readings. I don't do a seance because a seance is more something where you call out to see what's around, but I just kind of, we formed a circle in the parlor, the formal parlor, where Mr. Andrews was found dead and had been killed. And some really interesting things started happening. But why it freaked me out, and it wasn't like going there was no big deal. The structure of the house is so unique with all these little rooms. It's an old Victorian. I do believe in my line of work as a psychic medium, the architecture of a home will either harbor energy or can help, I don't want to say trap, but it can help harbor the energy. Think of like cobwebs mm-hmm. in a corner versus something that's more open with more organic lines and so forth. So this is a really choppy house, multiple floors. I stayed upstairs while the guests were coming in what used to be the one of the maid's quarters. Bridget, the maid, was in the other room when she stayed at the Borden house, but the other maid stayed in the room that I did. And when I went downstairs, people were pretty amped up. Like I said, it was a sold-out venue with everybody, you know, geared up for the big night. And we had dinner, and it was the first place that I can say, while I was standing up speaking to them during dinner, they were eating, and I was just going through the room doing these random readings, my back was against a wall, and not quite like up, literally up against it, but there was maybe about a foot or so distance between my back and the wall. And the people were in front of me, and literally I jumped because it felt like somebody pinched me in the butt. So Danielle, who is the historian at the property, or at least she was, I know Danielle has recently been there, but I was just like, honest to God, I felt like I just got goosed. And that's never happened. And she said, that's got to be Mr. Borden, because many people claim, females especially, that they get groped or pinched in the butt. And I actually experienced that, not even knowing that part of the history that goes on in the house, but got a little creepy. Oh, wow. Later in the night. A lot of creepy.
Well, that's creepy in general. I mean, you know, to have a scary,
yeah.
You know, grope you. It's creepy if it was real life or, you know, the afterlife.
Exactly. And that's kind of where I was I literally thought somebody was standing behind me and did that. And it caught me off guard, because nothing really shakes me up on an investigation or even in a space such as infamous, if you will, as the Lizzie Borden house. But when we were doing, I was holding an EMF because I do think it's a good tool. I don't use much tech. I leave that up to the tech people. But I do think an EMF detector or a K2, either or, is a really good gauge just for somebody to hold on to it, be, you know, stationary in that type of setting where we were sitting in a circle in the parlor. And I was asking pointed questions. So as I was asking pointed questions, I didn't want to be holding the detector myself. So I think it was a woman that was sitting next to me to my right was holding it. And as I was asking questions, first of all, there was no response right away, but Mr. Andrew Borden did come through, and the EMF was responding to some of the questions I was asking of Andrew. But what was really interesting is there was a moment, and this is where it got super creepy, for me anyway. There was a moment when we were sitting asking questions, and it went quiet again. Mr. Andrew seemed to have left. And I started feeling a change in the energy in the room. It was a very seriously negative change. I will say that it was a human spirit coming through initially, and I tracked the energy coming from the dining room towards me through the circle. And as I was explaining this, meaning I'm talking out loud to the entire group, the EMF detector went crazy, and it was Lizzie. So I thought it was interesting from the point. Yeah, I thought it was interesting from the standpoint that Mr. Borden left. He was really predominantly there most of the time, but he left before, maybe there was about 10 minutes or so before Lizzie came through. And what I found fascinating about that is not having gone through the house at that point, Danielle was like, she knew what I was talking about reading Lizzie, and she wanted to go downstairs. And I said, this is really bad. There is something really dark about this downstairs. Now, common sense people that have heard the Lizzie Borden story, there have been some claims that the hatchet was found, I believe, in the furnace or something like that in the basement. So I was like, that wasn't what I was hitting on. It was something else she was showing me. And I said, there's a tremendous amount of blood here. So Danielle said, do you all want to go downstairs under her direction? And so I led the way. I said to Danielle, no, she's showing we need to go here. So Danielle led us down into the basement, and I stopped, and I said, no, it's over here. She's over here. She's pointing to a specific place. Now, the place that Danielle was a little bit freaked out, too, she goes, okay, this is really weird. And not, you know, you got to be graphic because of just the content of the history, what happened in the home. But at that point in the basement, there was a little room off to the side. And some people have taken pictures of what looks like an apparition or like a face or something on this one wall, but it was the wall behind it, the outer wall. And I said, this is bad. I said, this is where she gets a lot of pride from this wall. Like Lizzie was communicating that she got off. I hate to use that term, but that's exactly what she was conveying, was that this was like a big deal, and she was excited about it. And I was like, it's just a wall. It's like an outer wall. And Danielle said, actually, the coroner brought the bodies and the clothes. The clothes specifically were full of blood from both the victims, and that was the exact spot that the clothes were hung and the blood dripped off the clothes, that the clothes during the inquest from the coroner, that's where they were located. And the bodies were in the house for quite a while, too, as they investigated. Mm-hmm. So we thought that was really – that to me was just really gross and creepy. And then we went back up into the kitchen, and there was this whole conversation that Lizzie and I had about what took place. And everybody can have their opinion. That's great. I am convinced after what took place, especially with Danielle's feedback, being the historian, not knowing a whole lot other than what's just normally out there, she had a ton of detail. She goes, yeah, that makes complete sense, because that was what has been discussed about how Lizzie committed the crimes. So in my opinion, based on that conversation in the kitchen especially, that she did commit the murders, and that there, I have to say, based on her essence, from the moment she started coming through, the whole, like I said, even in the front parlor, all of the energy just completely changed in a very creepy, dark way. And what that is, what whether it's a cold case or just a psychic reading or working as a medium, mm-hmm. if an energy presents itself, let's say it's a human energy, the essence of someone that was living that past, there's a lot of signatures in that energy that those traits were very strong in that individual while they were alive physically. So you retain that same, I want to say personality, but it's your soul. So when her soul was coming through, her essence was communicating, there was some mental defect. There is no doubt in my mind, because of the confusion in her head, there was some serious, I've seen it before in some cases, some cold cases, that there has been one in particular, a serial killer that came through during the cold case. It took place over several months, but when connected with that individual, that individual was known to have mental health issues. This essence of her, of Lizzie, shows that very strongly, in my opinion. So that was what made it so super creepy, was the bloody clothes, that area was kind of benign, you know, like she goes, not hardly anybody knows that. That's just something we know as a historian here. The clothes were located on that wall, and they were hung there, and just the whole thing was saturated on the floor with blood, and she was getting off on that. And then she literally gave some details about, I do have to say, Bridget, the maid, did know, and Bridget covered for her. That's been a big bone of contention with some historians. I am convinced, with so much information that came through during that investigation, I am convinced Bridget covered for her. So that's why I say it was my favorite place, but my least favorite place, because it was so gross. it's really... My call on it is it got really super dark just because of what happened.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing that you were able to pick all that up and, you know, actually have that verified by the historians there.
Yeah. It's freaky. Something similar. This is really interesting. It's kind of if you don't mind me saying, it's an interesting topic with the paranormal. It's been mentioned a few times. I can remember at least once on Ghost Hunters years ago. So sometimes when there is body fluids or blood left at a scene or have imprinted on a scene, that tends to stay as an imprint. Think of it kind of like spiritual DNA. It kind of just imprints in the environment. Yeah. And I was on a tour with Scott Michaels, dearly departed tour, and it was the Helter Skelter tour. And I freaked Scott out because he was kind of asking my impressions. As there were other people on the bus, but I was sitting up towards the front near him. And I'm like, I don't like this road we're going at. I said, I'm seeing blood. And I remember him kind of turning around really quick at me and going, really, what else? I said, there's blood here. I said, I'm seeing blood running down the road. And he goes, okay, hold on a minute. So he kept doing the tour, and he pulled over at this spot, and he kind of reiterated to everybody on the speaker what I was saying to him. And he goes, well, Jill picked up on this is the spot where they changed their clothes and washed off with the hose up the street from Cielo Drive. So that is an example.
Oh, wow.
It's a gross. Yeah, but that shows that happens so often. Bordner's in Hollywood, I was asked to do some work there along maybe 2012-ish, and it was a private group, and I was drawn for the same reason to the alleyway, which is outside of Bordner's and by Bordner's by LaBelle, the club that I don't know if it still exists next door to Bordner's. It's an alleyway, and I was drawn to a spot specifically, and the rest of the group that had asked me, some of which one was the general manager at the time, Alex of Bordner's, Scott Michaels was there too, actually, during this. I walked to a spot and I said, somebody died right here. There's an imprint that this DNA, the spirit DNA is so evident right here. And that's where they kind of not freaked out, but they were just like, holy cow, how can you even tell that somebody did die there? They were killed right there. So that has happened in so many locations that there's something to be said about the energy. And it's not necessarily, sometimes it's a spirit communication that leads me to that spot, but there's a different feel. It's a twist. There's a residue, if you will, of something that happened in that specific spot, even without spirit conveying that message. So it's pretty weird that I have that ability. It's kind of like being a bloodhound. Literally and figuratively.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's amazing that, you know, you're able to kind of see the past through, you know, reading an area by that, because, you know a lot of things that the historians that are able to verify that not many people know. So that's really incredible.
Yeah, and it's just an odd thing. One of the things I'm known to do with cold cases, it can be extremely helpful. A lot of times you end up waiting for law, and that's why I say it can take months of just back and forth with different agencies to see what comes through. Sometimes it's spirit energy. Sometimes it's of the victim. Sometimes in the case, it could be psychically reading the living who committed the crime, their energy. And then sometimes I've been taken to sites twice. So otherwise, it's been remotely that I've worked on the cases. So the two times that I was brought to the site, I'm convinced that even without the body, and this is for both of those cases, the situation that they've been waiting for, one of the pieces of evidence is, in one of the cases I can say without saying where, because I do feel strongly that the body, that the person was killed in a specific spot, and because it went for a long period of time without knowing that the person was even missing, you know how animals can take away from the scene and kind of mix, scatter things around. That does tend to happen, but I'm convinced in both of those separate cases that the areas that I was led to is where they were killed. So there's something really odd to say about that, but it's just an extension, I guess, of my abilities. It's kind of weird.
I want to mention, too, just at the beginning, the call-in number is 619-639-4606. That's 619-639-4606. I see that there's callers already in the queue and everything. So we'll be taking your calls after the mid-break, which is coming up shortly. But feel free to jump into the liveparanormal.com chat room. It only takes a second to sign in, get yourself an avatar, and you're part of the LP family, because we already have people who have found the chat room. So people are joining in with you, Jill. And I'm posting all your links in there, too, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
But I know you were talking a little bit about, you know, going on a tour with Scott Michaels, and you actually have an event with him upcoming on October 26th. Can you tell us a little bit about the upcoming event and how you and Scott initially met and started doing tours together?
Sure. Actually, it's really interesting. So I'll start with the event, which is October 26th. It's going to be the third annual Halloween event at Dearly Departed that I do my mediumship and psychic thing in the haunted history. The 2 years prior, we did the event on Halloween, and you and John, you know how Hollywood traffic can be on Halloween. It's a nightmare. So we decided to do this Saturday before Halloween this year because people were literally gridlocked in traffic and didn't make both of the events were sold out, mm-hmm. but we had a handful of people each event that just could not get through the traffic, especially in what coming from and needing to go through the West Hollywood area. So we moved it to the 26th, and this year we're going to do, instead of just focusing on Harry Houdini, we're going to do the mm-hmm. Legends of Horror, which would be like Lon Chaney Jr., Bela Lugosi, Boris Karloff, some of the bigger, older celebrities associated with vintage horror. And to me, that's like, that is part of my genetic makeup, I think, as a psychic medium, watching and just growing up with these icons floating around in the past and seeing their movies. So that's going to be a really fun event. We're pretty close to sold out at this point, but so I would encourage anybody, I think maybe there may be six tickets left, to grab the tickets while they can. Going to be some food and some fun and some psychic gallery readings and, of course, see if I can pick up on anything, meaning any of the celebrities. Mm-hmm. And maybe even Houdini will make an appearance. You never know. He has the past 2 years on the anniversary of his death, but you never know. Can't guarantee it. So Scott and I met. It's kind of a very interesting story. Initially in end of May or early June of 2010, our family had gone on a cruise and with friends from the East Coast, and we were looking for something kind of fun and spooky to do. So I Googled, you know, fun, spooky tours to do in LA, because they know I'm a psychic medium, meaning my family and friends. Mm-hmm. And we found Scott's tour, and we took the Tragical History Tour, which is just like a survey of some interesting events that have happened in Hollywood, and all Scott and his group, Elisa Jordan, Richard Sebastian, Brian Donnelly, they're all fantastic tour guides. They are so informative and versed and experienced in just the culture and the history, just totally professional with their tours. And so we went on the tour, and my first book, you know, that was it. I felt I wanted to go back to do another tour at some point. And then my first book, 207, came out in July of 2011. And then later, I had somehow hooked up with Bordner's to do the medium well. I was like, okay, Bordner's would be a really good spot because the Black Dahlia. And that was 2012. And Alex, again, at the time, was the manager of Bordner's. She's like, we had to do a pre-production meeting and go through, it was my first time actually to go through the restaurant, in the Associated Club next door. And Alex said, do you mind when you come down to do the pre-production tour and go through and do all the paperwork, can we like have you meet with a group of friends of mine? I'm like, absolutely. We'll do some readings or whatever. So I went down, and lo and behold, one of her friends was Scott Michaels. So I thought it was hilarious that the day that we took the tour just about 2 years earlier, Scott greeted us and put us all on the bus. And that was my first and only introduction to Scott, but I remembered him. And I was like, oh, my gosh, this is, you have the tour company. He's like, yes. And then one thing led to another, and we did, you know, I did readings that day. It was really pretty cool what happened at Bordner's, in addition to the history and getting the layout, and then went back and actually filmed there for the Medium Well episode. But Scott was there, and we just pretty much, he's like, hey, we kept in touch, and he's like, can you come over to my shop? I'd be really interested to see what you have to say. And this is what his old shop located on Sunset Boulevard. And so I met them there, and him and some of his staff and Troy, and went through, and they had me pick up on some, they gave me a box, and they were like, what's in this box? And I'm like, oh God, it was pretty gnarly. That I'm seeing, and I'll never forget it again. This is at his old place in the back storage room on Sunset. He was just giving me things and, like, holding boxes. And I said, I don't like this. I said, there's something up a hill. I said, this is – and I was looking at him, like, I think there's something Sharon Tate. This is not good. And he goes, actually, those are some of the bricks from her fireplace on Cielo Drive.
Oh, wow.
And there were – yeah, there were some other things that came up. So that is how – and then it was kind of just, like – doing readings and helping people out through Scott and going, just not doing tours, but going on tours with him and giving my opinions and my feelings and senses on different locations of the tours, and just becoming, I consider him a close friend, and he's a good man, gives back to the community. Like I said, the whole entire staff are wonderful to work with, and the event kind of evolved. He was like, you know, if you want to do something here, and I'm like, okay, we'll figure out something. I figured out a little kind of show, and it's just been over 2 years now. So every show, I think, has been sold out, at least the last year and a half. It may even go back to the first show. I can't remember that far back, but every, you know, other month doing a show there, and it's haunted history featuring celebrities that have passed away within that month, their death anniversary. Bringing a celebration of life of sorts in remembrance to their name and their craft, and doing random readings. And it's been amazing. I've met some fascinating people literally from all around the world through these shows. Mm-hmm. So really cool. And thanks to Scott for that.
Well, they definitely sound like such amazing events. So everyone definitely make sure to go check them out, especially this upcoming event. And yeah, I can't thank you enough, you know, for, you know, coming on today. I know we have to take a quick commercial break, though, but we'll be right back with more questions.
Yes, the Ghost Host Show is Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. Let me give the number again. It's 619-639-4606. That's 619-639-4606. As well, feel free to jump into the liveparanormal.com chat room. It only takes a second to sign in, get yourself an avatar, and you're part of the LP family. We have callers on deck that we're going to take after the break. And again, our guest today, we have author, writer, artist, medium, entrepreneur, sublime and supernatural podcast host, and Hollywood Ever After mediumship host, Jill Marie Morris. Everyone, and also too for her event coming up, there's Eventbrite tickets available on the homepage of her website. So everyone visit JillMarieMorris.com. That's JillMarieMorris.com for the upcoming October 26th event at the Dearly Departed and the Tours and Museum. It's actually going to be at that location. And Bordner's is actually, Jill Marie, it's still there. It's called the B-52 Club. That's where Sophia, she hosts the Shriek Fest events for the Film and Screenplay Awards. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli and LiveParanormal.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the paranormal rock star, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on LiveParanormal.com.
Joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporilli, on liveparanormal.com.
That's right, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporilli on liveparanormal.com. I'm trying to unmute, and it's got a little bit of a lag and delay, but I want to remind everybody, go to jillmariemorris.com. That's jillmariemorris.com. And as I'm trying to unmute and get Sophia and Jill back into the chat, here we go. We got Jill back into the show, Sophia back into the show. Jill, when you're hearing Sophia's voice and over the course of the show, a lot of people, when she has intuitives on especially, is there anything you pick up about Sophia and her direction?
Yeah, I do think she's got to – this actually is kind of interesting from my perspective anyway, because I think the first time I was a guest on your show was back in 2012-ish. And so it's interesting for me to see her evolve and grow up in front of everybody. And I want to say that initially I saw such a strong forensics background with her, but there's something interesting now that is – it's as important – but it's also more creative with a twist. And what that twist is think forensic psychology, not just the hands-on forensics. It's more of a forensic psychology type of approach, but there is something creative I'm seeing here. And it's completely split from forensics or forensic psychology. It's more so engaging writing, more production oriented. If she can merge those two things, she's golden. She really is. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. Well, I took psychology and forensics in high school, but they had a detective come in, and let's just say they showed some things that I wasn't necessarily the most suited for. So I'm not necessarily going to further in that, but I do have a background in both psychology and forensics for my career high school.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so that's interesting because it used to be, if you go back, I think, to one of the first times we talked, it was strongly very forensic related. And it's interesting you mention that you're not suited for that. And my son, similar, he went to go for nursing and he ended up changing his major because he couldn't deal with some of what he saw. He's just like, oh, this isn't for me. But for you, it's really the psychology part of it, the more look at the approach of what you can do without getting into more of the graphic work and hands-on forensics. That is huge, but there's something involved with writing. There is something involved with creating, producing, but it's attached to one another. So I would say if you could, my opinion for you would be what I see very strong for you, which brings in gold, and gold is money, financial stability, so on and so forth, would be to, if you are interested in psychology and still interested in forensics, but maybe not hands-on, I would, any kind of creative writing to merge these fields. It's almost like I see you doing an investigative show, but not from a forensic standpoint on its own, but more from a psychological, maybe horror, maybe historical, but there's creative involved here. Have you been interested in that by chance?
Well, you know, with my radio show, I really love, you know, the entertainment aspect of it. I mean, I love, you know, making people happy and, like, you know, people doing, thinking what I do is interesting, you know, with the paranormal and stuff. So I really enjoyed that. I took psychology in high school. I was actually the only person in forensics and psychology because when you took forensics, you took anatomy with it. And I did not want to dissect a cat. So I left to go to psychology.
I can appreciate that. I had to do that in my college anatomy class. So yeah, it's not fun. But yeah, if so, that said though, there is something I think because you're inclined to this, so meaning your energy is very, you just kind of explained, it makes you happy when you can help people. It is paranormal related, but it's from more of a thinking standpoint. So that is where it's kind of like if you get a creative idea, because I see you writing. I do. I see you somehow merging all of this together. Maybe not heavy, like I said, into the hands-on forensic side of things, but definitely with the psychological part of it. I think that happened for a reason. You had to literally find out that you didn't want to dissect a cat and get into all that, which you have to for forensics. But the whole path that you're on is for a purpose. And I think that purpose, it's so interesting to hear you say you took psychology. There is something here you can do. It's almost like I see you creating your own show, but I don't necessarily, not to freak you out, I don't necessarily see it as radio. I see it more as TV or something more in a video. You know, whether it's Netflix or there is something there for you to do. It's an exploration and it's a direction. I don't see it having been done yet by somebody your age, which is great because you've got a lot of energy to put into this in a huge future and use your experience with the show. But this is something to tap into because, again, it brings in a lot of gold.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, thank you so much, you know, for all your support all the years and always, you know, telling us, you know, what you see with my future. It's always really great to, you know, hear what the different psychics have to say because it is very insightful.
Yeah, and it comes down to what you want to do, and things can change. Obviously, you were coming up years ago, super strong hands-on forensics, but now I can see that change, and you just described what happened. So with that evolution, it's kind of like finding your niche, finding what makes you happy using all these life experiences, and that it's for you. You know, the world is your oyster, but there is something you're going to be doing. It's almost like I see you writing for your own show that you host, but it's a different format. And it's more of exploration, like, of the mind in paranormal versus the forensic side of hands-on, maybe like cold case work, things of that nature. Completely different from what it was maybe 8 years ago.
You're giving me chills, too,
yeah.
Because she had on Rick Wade last month, and he mentioned the word gold, and he kept saying gold over and over, and it was, you know, so that gives
well,
me chills.
Well, he said rainbow. He said that a rainbow is going to play into my future.
Well, he says that
really?
It associates with gold and another, yeah. And then, but I want to make sure we get to the callers, too, here as well. And, yeah, it's interesting because when we watch the Hallmark Mysteries, she's always got, you know, oh, yeah, there's this and that and the spatter marks. And this, you know, she does that type of thing, too. So I see where you're going in that direction. We have a Northern California caller, 831 area code. I'm trying to bring them in. Here we go. We got them in the queue. Hi, what's your name? What's your first name? 831?
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Christina, and I'm calling from the Monterey Bay area next to Carmel, Monterey, Pebble Beach area. Are you familiar with that area?
Yeah, Christina.
Yeah, a little bit.
Thank you for it's really a magical place. I love the ocean, and it's breathtaking here. And I really enjoyed listening to the show. I'm a first-time caller, and I am in a situation where I am really afraid that I could end up being stabbed to death. And it's not lightly. I've been harassed and tracked and home broken into, college account. Just the man that's doing it, am I in danger of him planning on taking my life?
Wow. Okay. First of all, I'm sorry you've had to go through that. And before I get into what I see as a psychic medium, I will always say if you feel you're in any type of danger, no matter what the situation, if it's a stranger, law enforcement are to work for you, and you need to keep them abreast.
Yeah, I've gone several times, and I'm documenting everything, and I let everyone know if anything happens. This is who I think it is. I've let my school know. They've met with me. And I brought everything to the police actually yesterday. And I have been over the months just, you know, it's a second break-in. Although I feel this one is with this person, does he still think that, like, we're together, and if I got to be careful about how, am I going to come home and find him in my house? And do
okay.
I need to be really careful?
Okay. First of all, you should always be careful. And there is, it's interesting, Christine, is it Christine or Christina?
It's Christina. Thank you for saying that.
Oh, no, you're welcome.
Thank you. It is Christina.
Hey, Christine, I'm sorry. So one of the things, too, is that no matter what my opinion is, you need to feel safe and you need to be safe. But I'm going to adjust one more thing. Always, even it sounds from what you said, it's an ex partner or something. Domestic violence, National Domestic Violence Hotline. They can hook you up with resources that really could be of extreme help for you. I used to work for Domestic Violence Hotline years ago. So just keep that in the back of your head as a resource. So now you're welcome. My impression is that I think you're going to be okay, but there's some outsmarting that goes on with this. And I'm going back to the domestic violence thing, which is there's some kind of resource I think you're going to pull, possibly from them. And you have to be vigilant. There is something that always comes up, unfortunately, in this type of reading, which is I always say to my clients, practice vigilance, but don't be paranoid. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying you're paranoid.
Yeah.
But be vigilant without being paranoid, because when you cross that threshold, you start acting more emotionally versus cerebrally. So it's important to keep calm, and it's important to, A, always know your surroundings. I don't think he's going to hurt you, but I see this outsmarting, and it's kind of like you're okay for sure. But I see you turning around and saying, oh, my gosh, if I didn't do A, B would have happened. So that's why I'm like, there's something you can pull from a resource that's going to add to your arsenal of outwitting. Because there is, okay, I'm going to read his energy. I don't know him or you, but what I'm going to say is he's very cat-like. I can't quite explain it. He has, like, he pounces. And then he retreats and he thinks, he strategizes. And he tends to be, is he aloof in nature? Because this comes up super huge around him. Is he a little aloof or egotistical? Can you answer that?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so that's his energy. And so that's interesting because it's like he plots. He's a thinker. He plots things, but he thinks he's a little narcissistic. He's a little egotistical.
100%.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
So what you have to do is you have to say, okay, you're giving me tools to help me help myself, which is I know how you behave. And I think you're going to be okay. I have to say this, and I don't pay your bills, so it's always hard in this situation. If you're considering moving, you need to move. Okay? I know
okay.
It's easier
I've
said
been feeling
than
in
done.
Danger.
Oh,
yeah.
I just say there's – I don't want to necessarily say there's a honking amount of red, which to me is a warning color. There's red, but it's on the low scale of red. But what I'm concerned about is familiarity with where you are. So it's kind of like I said, it's almost like a sidestep. I don't see a big move for you. I see it as like a sidestep. And I think this is important. I shouldn't say names, but there's a big name that pops up in conjunction between you and he. This is a name that could actually work to your benefit. And the name is Donald. So keep that name tucked in your pocket as a source of help. Okay?
Okay. And I'm paid until December. And so I was supposed to sign a lease in January. Do you see me being able to find a place for me and my kids between now and then?
I think if you take precautions, so if you're thinking of moving, like you said, in December, that's a good time. I think you're okay, but this is coming up down the road. I think you need to, my advice to you would be don't sign that lease, to renew the lease. Don't.
Yeah,
because of the familiarity, like I said. There is a need to create a separation, to create a new step.
of direction. And yes, I think you will be able to find a place. Right now, the urgency is, you're okay. Like I said, I see that if there's this discussion, like you just said, you're thinking about what you're going to do in December, which is really not that far off. Yeah. That would be to me, the strategy is to do not re-sign that lease. That it gives you a fresh start. I see you more protected. I see it's interesting because there is a female energy. This is a deceased female energy around you that is very protective of you. She comes across as very motherly, but not necessarily mother. But she is there with you. She wants you to know she's helping protect you and your family. And she puts up a tremendous amount of white protection around you, which is always good. So I would say moving forward, the best thing is strategize for December. Just always be vigilant. There's something really interesting. Question, was there a dog barking recently that alerted you? There's a barking dog.
Yes, last night.
Yeah, last night? Wow. Okay, pay attention to that dog. Because this is like, I'm seeing it as an alarm, as like, but I'm hearing it. So it was just last night. Okay, so it's probably why it's so strong around you right now. So what is, this is something like, no, this is actually good. You can pay attention to this. This is an alert. Just, again, without being paranoid about it, be vigilant. And like I said, at any given time, even after you hang up the phone from this phone call, you explain the situation, call the National Domestic Violence Hotline. They can help you with so many resources. And I'm not trying to say that's what you need to do, but I think they could benefit you and your family and help you get through this period, because I do see this change, this move, and I think it's okay until December. I do not see you, fortunately, being stabbed to death. So that is a good thing. And I think
but
that
do you see him like in this house, like if I'm not able to move and I'm in this house, I have the neighbors that can record on their Wi-Fi so it can't be stopped, but I have this feeling that I'm going to come home and he's going to be in the house waiting for me.
Okay, I don't see that. I see the need to be vigilant. So it's kind of like I think that there's enough preventative things going around. Obviously, you can't prevent what somebody's going to do, but you should just throw out some just real off the top of my head. You can go to Home Depot, maybe get some. If you can't get a security system because it may be too much money or whatever the situation is, I don't know what your situation is. But you could even go to Home Depot and get alerts for your doors and windows.
Yeah. I was actually going to have my neighbors record, and then that way there's a retired detective. There's another guy we call Santa, and have it because he can't stop that Wi-Fi because the neighbors already had a run-in with him, and I think it was my daughter-in-law. And I just want to make sure I can keep my kids because I think he's going to try and take them from me, and that his intentions are that he thinks we're together and on a break right now, and I got to tread really carefully when I find him in my space. But I think he knows too many people, and I think that last night, was I being watched? Because I felt like I was.
I do see that the dog, the barking dog that, like, I see alerting you recently, which was last night, I see that as being legit. So I want to say I think somebody was kind of maybe looking around outside. And again, don't be paranoid, but just be aware. That's why at Home Depot, I think you can get 8 sensors if you don't want to get a security system. 8 sensors for maybe $15, $20, and put those on your windows and doors because at least if you're sleeping, it will alert you. The chime or you can actually set it to alarm. It's just a deterrent. It's use your arsenal is what you need to do because I see you okay, but the weirder part about this is you just mentioned, he thinks you're together and you're on a break. That's why I'm saying he's plotting. That's why I'm seeing you being okay, but you have to outsmart him. And the dog is a big key to listen to. Like, don't wait until you hear a crash. If the dog starts barking and you're uncomfortable, that's your key to pick up the phone and say, hey, could somebody come around? I'm having problems. Could you do a drive-by and check? I've had issues. And we have children in the home. So it's kind of that. But I honestly don't think he's – I don't think you're going to find him in your house. I think he's just – he's trying to figure things out. I see him plotting.
And is it to try to get me back, or is it trying to just control me and get me to be submissive and have his way?
I think it's both, to be honest with you. I see it's – how do I want to say this? No offense, I think he wants his cake and eat it too. I think it's control, but I also think he wants you, and I think that he has to get a lot of help himself, and he's not going to do that. He is just, that's what I see as narcissism coming out in him. It's not his fault, nothing his fault. So it's hard because you've got, you know, you're worried about your children, but always do what you feel is safe. I think you're going to be okay because I see these little points, these little, like I said, this arsenal of things around you, people around you that you can use that is going to be positively working for you in this environment. But I would say if you can move when your lease is up, I will say, if you re-sign your lease, that's an invitation for just something is just not right with that. But again, I don't pay your bills, so you have to do what you feel is best.
Christine, unfortunately, there's going to be a hard close to the show. Jill Marie, is there a way she can contact you? We didn't get into the specifics, but I know your book, 207, you deal with your own personal domestic situation too as well. So I know you have resources. Where can people find you for readings as well? Is Christina can actually contact you for further resources.
Yeah, sure, Christina, and I wouldn't charge you for this. Just go to my website, jillmariemorris.com, and go to the contact page and just say, hi, it's Christina from today's show, and we can make arrangements to have a chat on the phone, and I'll just try and help you the best that I can.
Yeah, and that's Morris with two R's. So JillMarieMorris.com, that's JillMarieMorris.com. I want to make sure, too, I'm sorry we had to preempt a lot of the calls, but this is, you know, very important that, you know, this was actually handled. And feel free, too, Christina, to this archive show will be posted immediately following the broadcast on LiveParanormal.com as a free MP3 iTunes download. So you can, you know, archive any of what you gathered from this if it's helpful at all, too, as well. Jill, what do you have upcoming? I know you have the October 26th event. Any websites, anything else you'd like to promote along the way?
We've got the December 14th event I'm working on. We have a movie coming out that I'm the expert psychic medium. It's a big paranormal documentary. I unfortunately can't say the title or anything yet, but we are really close to it being released. So I will definitely be putting that out all over social media once we can start promoting that movie. And I do have some shows that we're in the works of trying to figure out dates for locally, meaning in the Southern California area, and working on next year's schedule, which probably won't be announced till December. So that's really about it. And if anybody wants a reading, the best thing is with my schedule the way it is, it's best to send me an email through the contact page and we can discuss, you know, what you're looking for and what my schedule availability is at that point.
All right. Thanks, Jill Marie. Thanks so much. Again, there's going to be a hard close at the end of this, but thank you for your help in this today.
No, you're welcome. Thank you so much, Sophia and John. It was always, as always, a pleasure and great speaking with you both. And good luck with Christina,
and we'll have you back on,
thank you
too,
so much
as well,
for coming
because
on.
Yeah, we have other callers, too, as well, that will have definitely she's a recurring guest, Jill Marie Morris. Visit JillMarieMorris.com. That's JillMarieMorris.com. Fantastic show today, Sophia.
Definitely. Jill's such a great guest. I want to thank you all for listening. The show definitely would not be possible without all of you, and I will talk to you guys again next week. Bye.
All right. We'll see you then. We'll be right back.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.